Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood, John Paul Basham.
Yo!
Mary Margaret.
Hey, hey.
And we're here for another episode to hang with you, the greatest people on the planet, student ministry leaders. Give it up for yourself, wherever you are right now. Just take a minute and give it up for yourself. And if you're uncomfortable giving it up for yourself, then give some encouragement and some claps to the other student ministry leaders who are listening to the podcast. We'll join in.
Hey.
Thanks for what you do. You really are the most amazing people. Thanks for listening to the podcast. More importantly, thanks for devoting time, energy, effort to discipling the next generation of believers. What you do matters. What you do is super important. Never forget that, because sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but it is. Everything you do matters. You are making a difference in reaching teenagers. And that's why we want to do this podcast. We want to help you in that effort. We want to help you in your pursuit of discipling the next generation and their families. And we're going to do that through a very important topic today, learning to listen. So we've said on the podcast before that one of the most important things that you do is communicate. You communicate to leaders, you communicate upwards to the people that supervise you, you communicate laterally to other staff members, you communicate to volunteers, you communicate to students. You as a leader are a communicator. But one of the things we haven't talked about in depth on the podcast is that your role as a leader involves the other side of communication, and that's listening. Because the reality is, if we don't listen, then we'll never be the most effective communicator that we can be. If we don't listen to the Lord and what he says to us through his word, then when we stand up to communicate his word, it's not going to be as effective. It's going to fall flat. We have to hear from him in order to speak his word. And that means we have to be able to listen to him. The same thing can be said about every category of people that I mentioned just a moment ago. Leaders, your volunteers, parents, students, people that are your supervisors, your pastor, peers, other staff members. You must be a great listener to be able to communicate the right way to them. So we must be good listeners. And I will admit, there have been many times in my life where I have not been a good listener, where I've taken the posture of listen enough so that I can respond, even like especially in a moment where there might be some tension. Like, I'm looking to respond and make my point rather than actually hearing what the person is saying. So I've not done well in this in the past. There are moments still, so I'm not even going to act like this is just a past issue that I've grown beyond and will never be an issue for me again. This is, I'm going to struggle here. There are going to be moments where this is going to pop back up. John Paul's like, after working so long, he's like, yeah, I could name 4,700 times where that's been the case. But
not what I'm thinking.
I know that this is a struggle area for me. So let me just throw out the first question. In learning to listen, let's just talk about how we do that. We're not going to get into personality types and things like that. I think it factors into this conversation. But how do we develop the skill of listening in our leadership? Maybe the first question should be, what does it mean to truly listen?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think there's a couple of ways that we listen. One of those is literally to listen to people and be open to what people have to say, to critiques, to advice, even just to questions that people are asking, being open to listening to that from staff members, from leaders in the ministry, from the people that you're doing ministry to, or for. But also proactively listening and being willing to ask questions and hear an answer that someone else gives you and not just the answer that you've already formulated in your mind. You may come to that analysis saying, this is what I believe is true, and then mine for answers that validate that. But being willing to give the analysis and really hear the feedback, even if the feedback could be feedback that you don't want to hear or feedback that contradicts what you think is true, being willing to hear that is in a sense that proactive listening. And then I think it's a whole nother thing to listen in the middle of conflict. This, you know, you could put this in the same category as that first one, listen to what people are telling you, but you're in a totally different place. You're in a totally different posture in the middle of conflict. Somebody says, I have to tell you this, you know, whatever it is. Being humble enough to kind of put yourself to the side, put your emotions to the side for a moment and say, okay, tell me what you think. We have to be willing to do all of those, not in a defensive posture.
Yeah. And it has to be an active thing. And I think a lot of us think that we can listen while doing other things, or that we can listen and, you know, do X, Y, or Z, or whatever it may look like. And for me, I know one of those things is if I can tell that somebody really needs my attention, like I have to like put my pen down, I have to put my phone down, and I have to like look them in the eyes. Or, you know, and it's harder too sometimes on the phone, because I could be doing something else and they wouldn't even be aware of it, but then I'm actually not listening. But it's that idea of actively engaging in the conversation so that you truly are hearing what they're saying, so that you can effectively respond. Because I think a lot of us will respond to the bits and pieces or to the rabbit trail that we've gone down in our head on how we're going to respond or what we think they should do. And we're really not even listening to what they're saying. And it has to be intentional as well.
Man, I think you brought up a key component of this, and that's the attitude of humility. So like if we bring the gospel in, not to like gospel juke us here in this conversation, but the reality is if we bring the gospel into this part of our leadership, then the idea of putting others before ourselves is wrapped up in this idea of humbly listening and having that attitude of humility, where every time we enter into a conversation, it's not wrong to want to get our point across, and it's not wrong for us to want to speak our mind, but it can't be that only. And if we take, again, that gospel view of it, it's, okay, I'm going to put what this other person has to say and how they feel in front of what I need to say and how I need and how I feel about this. And then based on that, it might actively in that moment change the opinion that I originally walked into that conversation with, or mm-hmm. the feelings that I have about it. And if it doesn't change it, that's okay too. We still have the opportunity to share, but it's giving that other person kind of that first right. In role-playing games, it's called initiative. They get to act first, so their dice roll is higher. I'm going to stop nerding out about this now, but the reality is we should be people who defer to others from a spiritual leadership standpoint. And that's where, man, that's the humility check big time.
And I think part of the humility piece is realizing that they don't always need feedback. They don't always need an answer. They're not necessarily looking for a solution. Sometimes people just need to say something out loud and be heard by somebody. And I think that's where a lot of students are. Sometimes they just need to say what's on their mind, what they're dealing with, and something in there about having said it all out loud and kind of it lets the pressure out very naturally without having some big lengthy discussion or feedback on it. And sometimes it's like, you know, acknowledge that this conversation has happened, but then at the same time go, you know, why don't we revisit this sometime soon after we've had some more time to kind of think about it and process it. But for some people, it's just that they need to be heard.
Yeah, that's so good. And that's something that I'm learning in my relationship with Kristen is like, I want a solution. I'm a fixer type of person. So I want to get to something that says, okay, here's a plan. And so what the approach that I'm trying is to ask for permission to give like, hey, would you like some feedback on that? Like, is that something that do you want help figuring that out? And sometimes the answer is no. It's like, okay, cool. But instead of just charging in with, well, here's what I think we should do, it's a pause and a wait for, hey, are you open to this? Is this something that you're even wanting? And I think we can take that same approach to parents and volunteer leaders and all those kinds of things. So one of the most fearful things that a student pastor could hear is, we want to form a council of parents that sits with you and helps you guide the ministry. Like, that can be a nightmare. And sometimes it is. And sometimes you get the wrong group of people in there, and it legitimately can be a nightmare. But I wonder if, in most cases, the reason why there's a pushback against having something like that is not because of leaders thinking that's going to be a nightmare, but it's because of people thinking, well, then I may not get to do it my exact way, which goes back to the listening and and humble piece of that. And there are going to be parents who have opinions, and there are going to be volunteers and pastor. There are going to be people all around you who have opinions, and being able to navigate those with a listening ear while knowing what God's called you to and being flexible in accomplishing what God has called you to is a real key in this.
And we have to be mindful too that our call to minister to students is more than just ministering to students. And I feel like that's something we could probably in every episode to say to some degree.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just that it's not just students, because I remember when I moved from being a student ministry intern, hanging out with students all the time, into, you know, like a student ministry associate role, and I was on staff, like my time, I thought it was still going to be ministry to students all the time. Like, I thought that that's what my job was. And then I very quickly realized that it almost got cut into thirds, where a third of it was students, a third of it was parents, and a third of it was volunteers. And I very quickly realized that a lot of my ministry was to grownups and to adults. It was to people my own age and older and a little bit younger. But the ones that, you know, I had to make sure that we were in communication, that we, you know, they knew what was going on. They felt like they were a part of the process, and it wasn't just students. And we've got to keep those people, and you know, because they're making a big investment and a big sacrifice to be a part of what's going on, whether they're a parent, whether they're a leader, but they're giving something up to be a part. And so I think just the fact that we would take the time to hear them out so often will dissolve a problem before it can even really crop up.
So I feel like I'm learning even just lately some lessons there too. So I had one of the girls on our publishing team come to my office, and it was annual review time, and so they came and we were walking through some things, and she had a few things that she felt like she needed to say. And I've always told our publishing team, I want you to tell me what any concerns that you have, any way that I can support you. I'll do something to fix that right then, but I have to know in order to fix it. This time she told me what she needed to say, and then my question after that was, okay, how can we work together to make this better? How can I support you in this? And the answer was, I don't really need anything. I just wanted to say it. I just needed to say it. And I feel like I've been heard. So thank you. And I'm sitting here like, what?
I got to come up with a solution now.
Yeah. Like, there's not this is a foreign thing to me. Mm-hmm. Like, if you say it, then I want to fix it. But she said, no. I just needed to express it.
Yeah.
So is this a man-woman thing?
I honestly think it is. And I'm in the midst of premarital counseling right now, and so I keep reading about men and women things, and I really do think that this is a men and women thing. Like, just a difference in the way that we're wired. And sometimes, and it happened with me the other day. Like, I looked at Jonathan, my fiance, and we were dealing with some, like, slight little drama in regard to, like, something completely, like, small, like tiny regarding to the, you know, in regard to the wedding, but I got so wound up about it. And I looked at him, I said, I know I'm wound up about this, but I just need to say how I feel out loud, and then I'm going to be fine. And so I said everything about how I felt about something that, like, if I told you what it was, it'd be absolutely ridiculous. So I'm not going to say what it is, but like, I just got so, but once I said it all out, I was totally fine.
Yeah.
And I just moved on. So it's just it's a weird thing, but it's what we do.
Man, it is such a, I'm going to use the word skill purposefully. It's such a skill to be able to just hear someone. And I think the majority of time, like, so we've talked about different things in our personal lives that this has affected. I think the same exact thing is true most of the time when in the past, when I try to look back and have conversations with parents and leaders, that they don't necessarily want you to do anything They just want to know that they've been heard, and you actually earn more relationship with them by just hearing them and asking, is there anything that you need with that? How can I help you? Would you like some, versus jumping right into, well, here's how we can fix that. They just want to, I mean, it's like you just talked about, John Paul. They just want to say, I felt like I needed to say this and wanted to be heard. And that's it.
Yeah.
So how do you know? Here's the question. How do you know when somebody wants to just be heard versus they expect you to fix it?
I think part of it is literally sometimes just asking that question.
Yeah.
Once they're done talking, go, okay, I hear what you're saying. Like, and I so appreciate what you're saying. Now, like, is there an action step we need to take? Like, or, you know, are you kind of like, how do we move forward here, basically?
Yeah.
And just at least have asked the question. Cause some of them, I think, like what John Paul said, like, they'll be like, no, I'm good. I just needed to tell you how I felt.
Yeah.
You know, I needed to tell you what was going on. And then some people too, you know, they are coming with a, you know, maybe a solution in mind or an idea in mind, and they're moving forward and trying to figure out what a next step is, and they want to talk about it. And then in the talking it out, you still need to be a good listener and to pay attention to all the facets of what's going on. But I think at the same time, it's just asking the question, like, has this been helpful for you today? You know, is there anything else you need from me? But just that may sound super basic, but before you just immediately swoop in with an answer to say, hey, you know, kind of where are we, like, to give almost like a little quick eval at the end of listening, you know, to what they had to say.
Yeah. So here's one avenue. We talked about listening well to different groups of people. We've kind of touched on parents and volunteers. John Paul, how can listening well to, like, your pastor equip you to be a better under leader or to lead up in that? How does listening play into that?
I think that's all about the second thing that I talked about in actively listening, but that is pursuing information, because your pastor is a busy person and they're trying to spin 4, 5, 6, 7, 42 plates.
Yeah.
And so one of your jobs as a student ministry leader is to go to your senior leadership and say, and communicate, hey, here's what's going on. Here are the things that are happening. Here's how this is all working toward whatever it is that you've been talking about. Hopefully you've been talking about it. What do you think? Do you like it this way? Would you do it different? Could you give me any kind of advice on how to get to this or that? And part of that's understanding how your leader likes to be communicated to, which we've talked a little bit about on, I don't know if that was a podcast or a Student Pastor Network video, but hey, if you're listening to podcasts and subscribe to the network at the same time, then you have 100% chance of having heard that conversation.
That's right. And you've listened to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So well done.
But I think that's that active role. You need to be putting those things in front of your pastor, one, so that your leader is fully aware of everything that's going on. None of your ministry initiatives should take them by surprise. Like, oh, you're doing an event in a couple of weeks? Like, I haven't even heard of this. That shouldn't be a conversation. Unless maybe you are in a church context where that communication happens with an executive or something. But whoever your direct report is.
And then they take it above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever your direct report is, they need to be fully informed. But as you are informing them, you need to be asking questions and mining for information, again, with a posture of willingness to adjust or pivot or change totally based on the feedback that you get.
So let's shift gears just for a little bit. And if the audience that's listening to this podcast is anything like me at times in my life, like I said, past and will probably come up again in the future, they might be saying, man, I'm a good listener. That's something that I do. But in honest evaluation, realize what I was doing was not at all listening, like actually listening and hearing people. So if we could help the audience kind of identify, here are some signs that you're not listening. Here are some things that you can look at yourself and ask yourself, at a motive level and what you're really trying to do, if you're doing these things, then chances are you're not listening well.
I think part of that is just really trying to justify the thing that you are trying to say is, or your response in the situation, to come back around and go, but just one more time, let me clarify, or let me tell you why I did this. Or because in a sense, I think it's really easy to tell in those moments that you have not been listening to what the other person's saying. You've been trying to come up with your justification for the thing that you've been talking about. And it very quickly becomes, that's where I think emotions get involved and you kind of ramp up really easily, is when you're just trying to justify yourself. And we all have this innate desire to go, to be heard and to hear, you know, hear somebody else, you know, go, okay, like I get it. I hear what you're saying. And, you know, in one time, like when I was in counseling a while ago, you know, the counselor was saying, you know, you need to ask the question, you know, maybe after somebody has said a statement to you, to come back and say, okay, what I heard you say was, and to be able to clarify that statement and say, hey, okay, here's what I'm hearing you say. And then if it wasn't right, let that other person say, no, that wasn't exactly what I meant.
Yeah.
And it made me more aware that sometimes I was hearing the parts I wanted to hear, but I wasn't hearing everything they were trying to communicate.
Yeah, that's good. What's another one?
I think another one is just understanding about yourself. If you're in a place where you cannot receive constructive criticism, then you're not doing a good job listening. You've got some things that you need to work on. So if somebody says, hey, I think this could have been better had you done whatever, 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 or I wonder if next time you could consider this.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it doesn't come very gently at all. Sometimes it's just, that was terrible. They may be right.
Yeah.
And so no points on delivery.
Right. That's right.
But the criticism could be a good one.
Yeah.
And if every time somebody brings something like that to you, your heart starts pumping and, you know, your cheeks get red and you are immediately on the defensive, then you've got some work to do.
Yeah. Defensiveness. If that's your default, then probably not listening in order to hear. I think another one too, like if you have to always be right, have the last word. If you're, and we all have relationships probably with people who say have to be right about everything all the time. And that would, I would put that in the category of signs that you're not truly listening, is if you always have to have the last word, always have to be right.
And one more that I would think of is that if you walk away from the conversation not knowing something new about that other person, you know, you sit there and go, you know what? I talked a whole lot about myself, you know, or whatever it may be. But sometimes I walk away and I was like, I'm not sure that I asked them what was going on with them, because maybe they asked me a leading question and then that dominated the rest of the conversation. But I have no idea what they actually came to the table with, that was going on with them or that they're walking through. And because I just ended up talking the whole time and I didn't take time to ask a question or to listen.
That's good. I think that goes a straight connection to what we mentioned earlier with bringing the gospel into this and how it is thinking about others first and making sure. I love that just from a relational aspect of what you're talking about of, okay, I'm going to try to find out something new here about this person, either a goal that they have or an aspiration that they have or something that, to put it in a student ministry context, what they want to see happen in the small group that they lead versus us just always saying, here's what I want to see happen in your small group. Being able to find out what they want to see happen is an amazing piece of this listening.
Man, and I think this is important to point toward the students in your ministry too, because I think as student ministry leaders, we get focused on that we're always doing the teaching, teach. But sometimes we don't take the time to just say, how are you? What's going on? Like what's happening in your life? And that's the only way we're going to know how to point the lessons that we're trying to teach our students. But we often don't take time to ask those questions. We've prepared a lesson and we want to get it out there and we want them to hear every word before it's time for mom and dad to honk the horn, you know, outside and get everybody in the car.
Yeah. Or we don't go any further beyond how's school, how's the team, how's the band, we don't take the time to ask the questions that drive us deeper into someone's life.
And that is probably an indicator that we don't care to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I think back to being in high school, there were a couple of youth workers who I remember very vividly. And I could like list off names to you who were the ones who would very genuinely ask me what was going on with me. And it was an eyeball to eyeball, like looking me in the face and saying, you know, tell me what's going on with you this week. Like, what's God teaching you? Or, you know, how are you growing? Or what's going on with you and your friends? And I knew that they wanted to know.
Yeah.
And so I would engage in the conversation, but I think so often we're passing students in the hallway, we're moving fast, we're trying to get from point A to point B, and we're trying to be relational and say, hey, what's up? How's it going? But like, it's almost, it just becomes words that come out of our mouths rather than literal engagement. And you can't spend all of a Wednesday night looking at every single student one by one, but I think that's, again, where we model that type of leadership, and our student workers will follow that.
That's
our volunteers will see us doing that, and then they'll start to engage in conversation to truly ask. But we've got to make sure that it's not just like a drive-through conversation all the time, but that we are taking time just for a one-minute conversation could make a big difference.
That's absolutely true.
Maybe that is a good small group leader training exercise to just write out a guide how to ask good questions of your students and maybe even of their parents if you have an expectation that small group leaders call their students at home and talk to whoever answers the phone, connect with the family.
Yeah.
Just how to ask good questions, what questions to ask, and then maybe even a follow-up question,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to kind of teach them to be in conversation with students. Because a lot of adult leaders are intimidated by conversation with students.
Yeah. That's right. So,
and you can tell if they've been listening if they come back and ask you about it again. Because that's part of it too, is not just the one conversation, but the follow-up conversation that it's like, okay, so last week you told me that this was going on, you know, what's any progress with that, or what's going on, or how can I've been praying for you this week, like any update on this situation. And that's, I think, takes it this whole other level of going, oh gosh, they heard me and then they did something about it, and now they're asking me about it again. And that's huge for students.
Yeah. And John Paul, speaking about the volunteer and training them on this, you could spend an entire, if you're listening and you're looking for a volunteer training meeting right now, you're looking for content for that, you can do this very thing and do a listening exercise where everybody tries to find out something about someone else in the room. Because I would wager that your leaders don't know each other as well as what we're talking about them spending time getting to know. So not only have they not asked students these questions, probably they haven't asked these each other, and that can help build community among your volunteer leaders, as well as begin to train them on how to get deeper in someone's life and how to truly listen. That can happen all at the same time.
Yeah, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for listening to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We hope that you have enjoyed this episode on learning to listen, an essential component in your leadership. You can't communicate until you've truly listened, and we want to listen to you. So hit us up on Twitter. Tell us how we can get better. We want to serve you well. Tell us what you think of the podcast. Good stuff. Stuff that we could change. We want to hear it. So at Ben Trueblood.
At John Paul Basham.
At Mary Margaret C.
All right. That's how you can get a hold of us. And remember the contest that we're running right now. It ends on December 31st, and we're using the hashtag SingingTreeMoneyNote. So go get a video of a living Christmas tree / singing Christmas tree at your church or in your community. Video the person under the star hitting that big note that they always hit in their solo.
Or yourself in a tree.
Or if you don't have a living Christmas tree, then film yourself up in the top of a tree hitting that same money note. Well, this has been the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We'll see you next time.